Okay, so feel free to have a seat. The first thing I would like to talk about, since we began with really inviting in some mother energy for a body, the month of November has been a very interesting month of a lot of energy change. I don't know if you've felt it. It seems like I'm always leading with that. Like, can you believe how intuitive it is? But actually, these changes are a very significant shift that we're going to start feeling more and more in your direction. There's a lot of support from the invisibles coming in, more and more and more for us to work with. So, on November 8th, the day after the election in the United States, the north node of the moon moved from Leo to Cancer. And when the north node will shift into a new sign every 18 months. So when a planet moves into a new sign for a period of months or years, it has a large effect on the collective psyche, more so than the day-to-day movements do. The day-to-day movements are trigger points, but these larger cycles really work on our collective psyche. The north node in Cancer is like, what are we all moving towards? What do we need to have our lessons in collectively? And that is how to open to the Divine Mother, into our hearts, into our lives. And Cancer asks the question, so this is a collective destiny point. And for those of you who have Cancer in your blueprints, it's very important for you as well. In terms of activating a deeper dive into sort of answering these questions with your life, who do I feel safe with? Where do I feel safe? Do I feel safe with me? How do I take care of myself? Do I rest when I need to rest? Do I take time off when I need to take time off? Self-care becomes very important when this is the directional flow, as well as opening up to our emotions. Cancer is a water sign and loves to go into the invisible places, particularly the places that got sort of ignited and set up on our children. The ways that we either felt loved by the people who were in charge of caring and loving us, or we didn't. Were we taught to sit with the trees and give and receive love the way we were brought, you know, into the circle of today so beautifully by Amrita? In other cultures, children are taught that. They're taught to give and receive love from nature itself and from all life. And so this is an opportunity for us to come home to our hearts, to come to invite. And the reason I wanted to lead with what I learned from Artie is it's such a quick and easy way to drop into the Divine Feminine with no effort at all on your part, and to feel that loving embrace. And you know, we need it. We're living at a time of enormous change. Some of those changes are coming about because so much light is pouring in. So much help from the invisibles, so much opening of the veils is coming in, and it's scaring people who don't know how to deal with that. And when people are afraid, they go into old patterns. And also, we are truly becoming a different species. We're evolving into a new cycle of being. In some ways, we're doing a cleanup act of all the gunk that we've accumulated, particularly since the 1500s, where we lived in such a state of separation and colonization, where our very bodies have been colonized by an aspect of the masculine that inhabits all of us, like a virus, actually. The virus of separation, the virus of greed, the virus of self-hatred of the body, that really got, that it's been going on really long. And this is a time that we're cleaning that up. And another cycle that's happening now that also shifted in November is every 584 days,
we have a new penis cycle. We enact the myth of Inanna again and again and again, realigning with the divine feminine. And it's, you know, it's almost a 2-year process, and that process began anew again November 1st. So again, November begins, we have a new archetype of feminine. And how it works, think about the myth of Inanna. You know, they say there are many stories around Inanna. One of the stories is she's contemplating the wonders of her vulva and felt the call to go into the underworld to, it really was the funeral of the age of Taurus, which was the age of the feminine. But she felt the call to go into a store culture. Because it is the feminine within all of us, regardless of our gender, that restores culture, that restores life, that brings back life. So she agrees to go into the underworld to see what she needs to see, to feel what she needs to feel, to transmute what she needs to transmute. And then when she comes back up, she goes to the island of Enki, who is this arrogant egoic god that stole culture from humanity. And she goes to restore culture. She's gone on the journey and she feels really empowered. And she knows he doesn't want to give up culture. So she gets a grunt on beauty and poetry and dance, Venusian arts. And he's so ecstatic and he says, sure, you can take whatever you want of human culture that I've stolen. And the first thing she brings back is the sensual and erotic. Restores that to humanity. She restores real estate that he has stolen. She restores science that has been taken. She restores poetry and history. Does it sound familiar? Something. So here we are. Venus has just risen up to begin a new cycle. And it's very interesting because right before she begins a new cycle, she dies into the underworld. And what does that mean? It means that we don't see Venus in the night sky or in the morning. Right now, Venus, for 7 or 8 months, will be a morning star. And once a month, she will meet with the moon. And that conjunction is visible in the morning sky. And it's initiation. This is her descending into the underworld, releasing what she no longer needs, so that she can really become a mature, empowered version of herself. But right before the cycle begins, she goes back into the underworld. So interesting, just interesting, that the moment that Susan Collins took to the microphone to endorse Kavanaugh, Venus in Scorpio went into the underworld to feel her emotions, to really go into it. What? And to release all that rage and to express all that rage so that she could rise on November 1st, have a power with the moon on November 6th on election day, and be reincarnated in a new archetype. So the archetype that we're working with for the next Venus cycle is Libra. Very different from the archetype that we just were working through the past 2 years, which was Aries. Aries is all about finding that protective mama bear, that fierce protection of the earth, of one another, and all that we love, and all that is vulnerable. And so there's been this strengthening of the feminine in our culture. And we saw it really on election day in a way that was very visible, in that we have so many women voting and entering government. And in so many other ways, but that's the most obvious, visible, we could talk about it for a long time. But that's just one example of feminine rising and stepping forward with her courage and her commitment to make a difference. Those that feel called in that way. And there are other people that feel called in different ways. But right before she shifted, she really went into a rage cycle. Right after this whole thing with Kavanaugh, there was just this rage that ripped through culture, which was necessary in in order to make space for this next incarnation of the feminine rising up. So when Venus rose from the underworld on November 1st, she was in the sign of Libra, which is a very different energy that we are all working with. As Venus rises, she rises in each and every one of us, and we rededicate ourselves to bringing the feminine into the world. And without that clearing process and that strengthening process, it's difficult to do the next process that we're working with now, which is Libra is the scales of justice. Libra is about balance, bringing more harmony, bringing more. Libra is connected to the goddess herself. Libra is connected to the planet Venus. And it's about bringing people together, bringing everyone together at the table and allowing everyone to have their voice, regardless of whether we like it or not, but making space for all points of view to be heard. Aries goddess doesn't like to do that. So we're moving into a really different energy, a softer energy for feminine, that we can give birth to this only from the strength that we've derived from the previous cycle, only from the strength of and allowing the rage to come up and the power and fire to say, I'm stepping into the game. Whatever the game that I want to step into, whatever I need courage to step into, I'm going to step in. Libra is about love, bringing beauty into the world. We're living at a time where there are a lot of cataclysms and suffering and sorrow. But Venus says, how do we bring acts of beauty and love and kindness and bringing people together in the midst of all of that? That is our task. That is the way the feminine reinvents culture and brings a renaissance even in the midst of our structures, the structures in our society going through a profound dismemberment, a profound initiation of breaking down and shadow coming up. Still, the healing comes through bringing our beauty, bringing our vision, bringing our wonder into each moment, even if that moment is we're grieving. And Jim and I were listening to last night a podcast that Deva Kamal did. She did a beautiful, beautiful music to raise just love flowing from her. Such beautiful vibrations coming through and such love and compassion. And I think about Venus and Libra. Venus and Libra brings us all together. And so, you know, astrology isn't like it makes us do this. It's like astrologers are pattern trackers. And we're looking at the archetypal patterns that are energetically really alive. And then we become aware of those patterns. We share the awareness of those patterns so that you can align to the medicine that is available for you. So you can align to the invisibles, how they are supporting you energetically, what's coming through, and to cooperate with it. And so the astrology doesn't change the culture we do, but we do so by bringing our awareness and our consciousness and cooperating and asking the question, how can I bring this forth? But we also do see these themes in the culture of circles forming, people wanting to be together. Libra likes company. Libra likes partnership. Libra also is about asking the question, how can I create more healthy partnerships in my life with my friends, with my beloveds, with my connection to the nature spirits, with my connection to my guides, with the divine, all of it, how do I be in partnership that's equal and balanced and conscious? And of course, that takes work. So that's what the feminine is working through right now. And if you are in a cycle of a multiple of eight, as I am, so 55, 56, you're 55, 56, you're a person in a Venus cycle or any multiple of eight, which means this is very personal to you. If that's the case, I would suggest you sing for reading. We can really talk about it much more in detail. So this Venus cycle started in November. We have Jupiter, which stays in the sign for a year, also moving into the new sign on November 8th, right after Election Day. Last last year, for those of you who may recall, Jupiter was in Scorpio. Jupiter is a planet that is about 1,000 times bigger than planet Earth. And it's massive. And so that whenever Jupiter shifts into a new archetype, it exponentially amplifies that archetypal mystery school in our world. It just emanates it. And so many people say this is the teacher for the year. And when Jupiter last year moved into Scorpio, on that very day, so we started hearing rumblings about Harvey Weinstein and all those people who started to come forward, and it started to create this ripple of what has been hidden, what needs to be looked at, and what needs to be transformed, which just made Venus and Aries matter. And but there was this sort of like descent into seeing all the things that have been hidden under a magnifying glass, because they're all right out there, are going to see much bigger than the example that I gave you, much bigger than government. Also in our own personal lives, what needs to be made visible so that we can transform it and become more alive. That was the theme of last year. This year, Jupiter has moved into Sagittarius, again, November 8th. So we have all of these movements in the first week of November. And what's interesting is that in the zodiac, it's so fascinating how it's sort of divinely designed. Each archetype that comes after the next is an antidote. So Scorpio is a symbol like an M with an arrow pointing in. Scorpio likes to go really deep and transform into the places that no one dares to tread. Scorpio will go for the purpose of transformation and bringing about greater ability to manifest our visions and our dreams and our life. The next sign in the zodiac is Sagittarius, and as a symbol, it's an arrow pointing upwards, the exact opposite. And Sagittarius is like, let's go on a journey. Let's go on an adventure. Let's see what our possibilities are. But the gifts of Sagittarius are not possible without first doing that deep work, plowing fields to make ripe the seeds that can grow, building the life force so that we can have the rocket take off when Jupiter goes into Sagittarius. They require it. So in Sagittarius brings in this amplification of this energy of spiritual expansion, the quest for truth, meaning, and enlightenment. The question, what do I really believe and what is truth? And how can I expand the possibilities for myself and for all life? Sagittarius, very optimistic. Sagittarius loves to just have new opportunities. So this would be a year that we would imagine that there'd be many, many opportunities for learning, for growth, people taking workshops, people writing books, people teaching, people like really being able to change beliefs, bring in a whole new idea of how do we work through this time? Now that we know where we are, now that we know we can't get out of this immense transitional time that we have volunteered, you know, we're the transition team in a transitional time. Now that we kind of realize we're not getting out of that, like we're not going to have fairy dust sprinkled upon us, and tomorrow everything's going to be perfect. We have to work through this deep stuff. Jupiter in Sagittarius says, it's okay. It's going to be all right. There's hope. There's a renewal of faith. There's a renewal of understanding with Sagittarius. And we are in these larger cycles. And within these larger cycles, always comes new growth, always comes evolution. The truth does come out. We do soar. We do become enlightened. We do get inspired, ignited to dream a new dream and to create a new vision. And Sagittarius gives us that ignition, that hopefulness, that possibility. That, I mean, really the mission of Sagittarius and Jupiter is to restore our faith. And our faith doesn't get restored just because things turned out the way we wanted. That's kindergarten. Our faith is restored knowing that in the midst of it all, there's nothing else but love. There's nothing else but oneness. And we're coming together. And, you know, people people are coming together more and more. They're learning how to bring in love. It's not just what you hear in the news. There's so many exciting, amazing things happening, and the children that are coming into this world are coming in pretty fully loaded and ready to ignite. And so this is a year of inspiration, renewal of hope and possibility, trying new things, learning new things, teaching new things. And this is the energy that we're stepping into in this workshop together. And the moon is in Cancer today. So the moon is going to have a parallel with the North Node. And the moon will be opposite Pluto and Saturn later today. And what does that mean in English? What that means in English is that we begin our time together in that very tender place of the heart. And Judith and I were talking a little earlier, and she was saying that she was going to share with the group how this whole process is just about peeling layers of an onion. And Judith, who's very Sagittarian and optimistic, and she's like, isn't it great that we get to like, it's so exciting, and that's what Jupiter and Sagittarius said. Isn't it great? We get to dive into the deepest parts of us and bring light and love into these deep places, and it's like peeling layers of an onion. And I said, can I say that? Because Pluto's the onion peeler. Pluto's that deep energy that says, come on, let's go deep. Let's dive deep. Let's really look at and feel and transform what needs transformation. And that's the energy we begin our journey of belief with. But we take with us this larger energy of Sagittarius. Want a quest to reclaim our divine feminine current in our bodies and our sisterhood, our connection with one another. And we're creating this Libra container of love and friendship and beauty and dance and ecstasy with one another. And in Cancer, we're inviting in that place of safety and love and connection. And one more thing that's happening this week, and it also started the 17th and 18th of November, Mercury's retrograde until December 6th. And so just something to be aware of, when a planet goes retrograde, it's actually closest to the Earth. And it doesn't really go backwards. It's almost like if you have two cars and one goes faster, it looks like the other's moving backwards. But in relationship to us, the energy that we're used to from Mercury, which is our ability to communicate, transportation, details of life, technology, the energy of that starts to move inward. It's wonderful for us to be on retreat, because that's what you want when Mercury goes retrograde. It's a time to reboot how we conceptualize our lives, how we create meaning, reboot a balance between our hemispheres of our brain, and to go inward. It's a great time to journal and dance and reimagine. And but it is also something to be aware of, that you and I, or you, other people, maybe have that conversation, thinking you're understanding each other perfectly, or thinking, we're coming back at 3:30, but somehow you didn't hear it, or somehow you got lost and went somewhere else. In some ways, we need to take time to get more grounded than we normally are because of this. To take time to get settled within ourselves, to move a little slower and to just be aware. Because what we're used to just being there, it's not there in the same way. And also, we want to take time to listen to each other more and not think we know what someone is saying. But, you know, that we're just really becoming better listeners, challenged to do that. And then the third thing is, have a sense of humor with. I mean, we all got here, you know, we all got here. I don't even think any of us were too delayed or anything. So it's not like everything goes on the blink. It's just sometimes more often it might, and we have to come to center and listen and make sure that we heard what we thought we heard, and that what we said was really heard. So that is the energy of our week. If there's something that I said that you did not understand, and you have a question, you can ask it. It's a beautiful energy that we're playing in. It's different. And it's beautiful that we're together in a circle. And my prayer for all of us is that we all go home and find our circles and have more deep and meaningful connections with other people, with nature, and with our own beautiful hearts. That is the north, that is our directional flow. And giving those vulnerable places in ourselves a safe space within us. Oh, you have a question.
Coming from Australia,
yes.
In the southern hemisphere,
yes.
Is it all exactly the same?
The solstices and the equinoxes are different, but the archetypes are the same. Yeah. That's a good question. It's very complicated. Okay,
thank you,
Lauren. And hopefully Mercury was good to us and did record it, and then you can listen to it, because this energy is with us not just this week, but really over the next months and even years. But it's ignited this month, so we're in the ignition process. And I wanted to say, interesting, that the very first thing that Inanna brought back to human culture was sensuality. And that it is, and that we are creating a renaissance in our culture, even though some of the larger aspects of our culture is imploding and expressing things that we need to make a renaissance from.
Thank you. Now we'd like to hear from you. So I'm going to